Okay, so we're recording. So we're on today on Daf Lamed Daled. So let's just refresh our recollections on what the Gemara had said. If you remember, the previous Mishnah was on Daf Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. And let me just go over the Mishnah again on Lamed Beis 32b in the Mishnah on Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. The Mishnah says, "Tanobi Ilan Lamalame Sarat Fachim Einirvo Eruv." If he puts the Eruv, the food, in a tree above 10 Tfachim, so the food is in the Rishus Yachid. He's in the Rishus HaRabim. So there's no way he can have access to the food, Bein HaShmashot, because he's not allowed to take from the Rishus Yach, the Rishus HaRabim, Ein Ro Eruv. Lamata Me'asar Tfachim. But if he puts it, it's below 10 Tfachim, so he says Eruv O Eruv. So then he'll be in the Rishus HaRabim, the food will be in a Carmelite, so that will be an Isur D'Rabbanan, but we said that this Mishnah goes according to Rebbe, and Rebbe holds anything with Shum Shvut Lo Gazer La Bein HaShmashot, that if it's a Shvut, then that goes there Bein HaShmashot, so I do have access to it. And then we said there's also a question, how can he make use of a tree on Shabbos or Yantiv? You're not allowed to make use of a tree on Shabbos or Yantiv. And the same thing, that if it's Mishum Shvut, then that goes there Bein HaShmashot. And then the next line, well, I'm going over the Mishnah, Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, and then we'll go back to it. Is it welcome, Olivia. The Tano Babor, if he put the Erev Tchumin in a boar, in a pit, and again, the Gemara is going to touch this up in today's daf. He says, Afilo Mok Mea Ama Erevo Erev. So the boar is Rishud Yachid, and he, the person, is going to be in a Carmelite. So again, he, since there's no Zerud Rabbanon Bein HaShmashot, according to Rebbe, so he has access to his Erev, and the Erev is effective. Okay? So then in yesterday's, Friday's daf, Lam Gimel Amud Aleph, so the Gemara quoted a Braisa. This is, I'm slipping now to Lam Gimel Amud Aleph 33a. So the Braisa is really just elaborating on the same case as the Mishnah. So the Braisa is six lines from the top. He says, Tani, Netanobi Ilan Lamalami Asar Tfachim, Inervo Erev. If you put it in the tree above 10 Tfachim, it's not a good Erev for the reasons we explained, that the tree is Rishus HaYachid and he's in a Carmelite. He's in Rishus HaRabim, rather. Lamata Me'asar Tfachim Erevo Erev. But if it's below 10 Tfachim, it is a good Erev. Meaning that's in a Carmelite and he's Rishus HaRabim. But Basur Litlo, but during Shabbos, he can't access the food. In other words, Bein HaShmashot, he theoretically would be able to, but once it's Shabbos, after Tesei Kochavim, so now he can't take the food anymore because he'd be violating Shabbos to access the food. He says, Betoch Shlosha Mutar Litlo. If the food is within three Tfachim in the ground, that counts as the same Rishus where he's located, and then he could take the food. But here's the part that we need. Netanoba Kalkala, if he, the person who wants to make the Ruby Tchumin, he put it in a basket, Utlaobi Ilan, and he hung the basket in a tree, Afilumalamiya starts Fakim in Ro Erub Dibi Rebbe. Even if it's above 10 Tfachim, it's still a good Erub. So we don't understand this halakha, the Gemara had difficulties understanding it. So the basket is above 10 Tfachim. He puts the food in the basket. How is that different than putting it in the tree? And we'll talk about it in today's daf. But Chachamim Omrim, Komakom Shasur Latlom, Ein Ro Erub. The Chachamim say any place where you can't take the food, it's not considered to be an Erub. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll leave out that last line. Okay, now go to Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. So the Gemara had discussed the thing with the basket. We're going to learn a different shot today. Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. 33b, six lines from the bottom. Okay, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Yirmi Amar, Shani Kalkala, Hoil Biachol and Toto, Lahabiyol Toch Asara. So the question is, why does Rebbe say, if I put it in the basket, I have a good Erev? We said, if I put it in the tree, I do not have a good Erev. So why, if I put it in the basket, is it a good Erev? So Rabbi Yirmi says that since he could flip over the basket and bring the opening within 10 Tfachim, so in other words, the basket's in the Rishus HaYachid. When he flips it over, now it's going to the Carmelite. So he, that would still violate a din d'rabbanan, but we said Bein HaShmashot, according to Rebbe, I'm allowed to, the dinim d'rabbanan don't apply. So then he could flip it over into a Carmelite, and now once he flips it in the Carmelite, so he'll have access to it where he's in the Rishus HaRabim. And let me get our picture book out. Okay, so everybody see the picture book? So here's the picture. Here we see a tree. Here's the basket. And the basket, and here's 10 tefachim at the dotted line. So the basket was normally flipped up, and here he has the basket hooked on a branch, however this works, and then he flips the basket down, and now the opening of the basket is less than 10 tefachim. So now that's what makes it a good Eruv Tchumin. That's what we think according to Rav Yirmiyah. Let me pause for a minute, because everybody came in, and I don't want to go too fast, so everybody's good. Let me expand this. Let me see this. Not this. How do I do this again? One minute. No. Oh, I stopped sharing. Yeah, there we go. Okay. Now, so who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody with me? Welcome, Robert. Welcome, Livia. Aaron Gershon, it's always nice to have you. So again, let me just repeat, okay? I just want to make sure everybody's on the same page. So we said that the person has to have access to his Eruv Tchumen Ben HaShmashot in order, at least theoretically, have access to it if he would be there. In other words, he's not even physically present there, but if he would be physically present, he should at least have access to it. In other words, so he intends that his Makom Shvita, the place of his Shabbos residence, should be at the base of the tree. The base of the tree is the Rishut HaRabim, a public domain. So he places, in the case that we're discussing, his shliach puts the food in a basket in the tree, which is above 10 tefachim. So above 10 tefachim is Rishut HaYachid. So he doesn't have access to from his Makom Shvita, he doesn't have access to it. And yet Rebbe in the Braisa says it is a good Erev. So how is it a good Erev in that case? Robert, are you okay with me? You good? Robert? Thumbs up. Give me a thumbs up. Thumbs up. Okay. So the Gemara says, how is it good? So Rabbi Yirmiyah says that we're talking about Hol V'Yachol and Totala V'Yadzo Chasara. Lu Yatsur, he would be there, and he would desire to flip over the basket. So then he'd be, in essence, removing the food from the Rishus Hayachid to the Carmelite. And then from the Carmelite, he would have access to it. Again, these involve rabbinic prohibitions, but we said that in Ben HaShmashot, according to Rebbe, the rabbinic prohibition does not apply. Okay? So that's the answer that we gave so far in the Gemara. So again, we're on Lamed Gimel Beis, two lines from the bottom. So three lines from the bottom. So Efe Rav Bar Shva L'Rav Papa. So Rav Bar Shva poses the following question. He says, Yativ Rav Papa Ka'amar L'Hashmaita. So Rav Papa was seated and repeating over this halacha from Rav Yirmiyah. So it's Efe Rav Bar Shva L'Rav Papa. So Rav Bar Shva posed the following question to Rav Papa, and this is from a Mishnah later on. We're going to have later on this week on Daf Lamed Ched in Daf Yomi. It says, Ketzad Huoseh. Now this is talking about where I have a Yantiv. Yantiv is on Friday, and then he has Shabbos. So he wants to have an Eruv Tchumen both for Yantiv and for Shabbos. So Ketzad Huoseh, what does he do? So on Thursday, presumably it's not the person himself. He'll send his shliach, and the shliach will put the Eruv Tchumen there, and then he'll retrieve it. He'll stay with it till nightfall. In other words, Thursday night is Yantiv. So the person's going to stay with the Eruv Tchumen until nightfall, and then after Tzeitzik Kochavim, he'll come and retrieve it. Uvalo b'sheni, and then the next day, Friday, he'll do the same thing again, because he wants the Eruv Tchumen to be good both for Yantiv and for Shabbos. He says, again, he stays there till it's late, and then va'oklo ubalo. So here he's going to eat the Eruv Tchumen at this point in time, because he's afraid if he leaves it there, he figures it won't be around anymore. He says va'oklo ubalo. So it's Shabbos, so he can't carry the food home. So on Yantiv, he had to carry the food home. But Shabbos, he can't carry the food home. So he's going to stay there till nightfall, and then he's going to have the meal. He says, Uvalo b'sheni machshik lava ochla ubalo. That's the end of the Mishnah. So the top line in Lamedal and Aleph. Now, in this Mishnah, we don't need the whole part about Yantiv. The key is really the part about Shabbos. He just quoted this because this is the only Mishnah they could find where it says what you're doing physically, where you're leaving it, and so forth. So the Gemara says, Ema, that now if Rabbi Yirmiyah is correct, the Gemara is going to ask, where I could say it's as if, in other words, since I could have flipped the basket over, so it's as if I flipped the basket over, right? In other words, I didn't flip the basket over. Remember Rabbi Yirmiyah's case with the basket. So let me go over the picture. So here we have the basket. So we said, since he could have flipped the basket over, it's as if he flipped the basket over. And then if he would have flipped the basket over, he would have had access to it. So the Gemara says, Amai, the top line, Lamed Aleph, Amai, Nema, Kevin Dibayam Tuyamam Tzimamtile, Afgab lo amtie commanda amtie dami. So the Gemara is asking why do I actually have to bring the Eruv to the Makom Shvita? Once I get to the idea that if theoretically I could have turned it over as if I turned it over, so here too, why can't I say it's as if the Eruv was brought to location? So the way the art scroll they quoted Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz saying like this, let's say my house is 2,000 amot away from my Makom Shvita, where I want it to be for Shabbos. So why could I not have placed the food outside my front door in the Rishus HaRabim? And you're right, it's not at the Makom Shvita. But once I see this idea, Hoil, like since I could have moved it, it's as if I did move it, what's the difference if I could have moved it or I could have brought it there? In other words, how far do I see this theoretical model? I could have done those things. So the Gemara says, Amr B'zera, Gzera Mishum Yom Tov Shechal Yot Akar Shabbat. So B'zera says, right, Taka, there is no difference between those two items. And really, theoretically, if I would use that svara, I would be able to leave my Eruv Tchumen outside my front door if it's in the same Rishus as the as where I my Makom Shvita. In other words, it means like this: if the food is in the Rishus HaRabim, so then I could move it two amos, get it to where it wants to be. So since I could have done that, why can't I just leave it there and then say it's as if it was in the Makom Shvita? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Zera says, Taka, I could have done that, but the reason we don't allow you to do that is the Gzera Mishum Yontov Shechol Yachar Shabbat. When Yontov is after Shabbos, so we don't have these kulas. So the one way to understand this is the rabbinic kulas are relaxed when I'm going into Shabbos. I'm going, in other words, when I'm going into Shabbos, the dinim are relaxed. But when I'm leaving Shabbos, the dinim aren't relaxed. So if Yontiv is on a Sunday, so I don't have any of these leniencies in terms of, according to Rebbe. Rebbe says, anything ben ashmashot lo gazru mishum shvut. If it's ben ashmashot, not goes there mishum shvut. So one way to understand it is that's only going into Shabbos, but not leaving Shabbos. So now, so since there's a situation where sometimes I have Yontiv on a Saturday night and Sunday, and I want my Eruv Tchumen to be good on Yontiv, so for that reason, I'm not going to say Hoil. I'm not going to say, let's as if you would like you would leave it, you know, in a different location. That's the reason the Gemara says with that. All right, let me pause. Anybody have questions on what we did so far? All right, just a little bit more. These are difficult Gemaras, and I'm just going to hopefully another 10 lines will be through the most difficult part, and then it gets a little easier. Okay, so the Gemara says Efe. So Rab Bar Shva asked another question to Rab Papa. Let's say the person he intends that his Makom Shvita should be in the Rishus HaRabim, and here you see in picture 27. Here's the Rishus HaRabim, and he puts his food in the kotel. Here's a wall which abuts the Rishut HaRabim, and he puts the food in the wall. You see there's niches in the wall. So one niche is below 10 tefachim, one niche is above 10 tefachim, and that we'll see that will be important. It says, Eifin, the Kabbalah Shpop Rishut HaRabim, Niyach HaRuvo B'Kotel, L'mata Miyasar Tefachim, in Ruvo Eruv. So if he puts it below 10 tefachim, so then that counts as the Rishut HaRabim. That'll be like part of the Rishut HaRabim. And so he and the Eruv are in the same... He and the Eruv are going to be in the same location, right? One second, let me make sure I got that right. Right. Now he says that even if the wall is more than Dalet Amos away from where he is, but I'll only have to violate a Din de Rabbanan by walking over there and taking it less than two tefachim at a time. He says, Lamala me'asar tefachim, but if he puts the bread above 10 tefachim, that counts as the Rishus HaYachid, then he's in the Rishus HaRabim, and the bread's in the Rishus HaYachid, and that's the kiss of death. He says, Ein ro eruv. Now, nitkaven lishbot barosha shovach o barosha migdal. Now, let's say, and here, he wants his Makom Shvita to be on top of like this dove coat or on top of this closet. I don't know whether they made it with a slanted roof. A flat roof makes more sense. But he wants his Makom. Now, this closet is leaning against the wall. The closet's leaning against the wall. So he intends his Makom Shvita to be on top of the closet or on top of the dove coat. So here, if his Makom Shvita is on top of the closet. I don't have a good picture for it here, but if his Makom Shvit is on top of the closet, so he's in Rishus Yachid, and if the bread is above 10 tefachim, the bread is also in Rishus Yachid, so then he's home free. He says, Lamata me asar tefachim, but if the bread is below 10 tefachim, so the bread below 10 tefachim is going to be the Rishus HaRabim. He says, Ein Erev O Erev. So it's because the people in Rishus HaRabim adjust their loads there, so it's not a good Erev, because I'm in the Rishus Yachid, the bread's in the Rishus HaRabim. So the Amai, so the Gemara is for Amai, Hachinami Neima, Hovei Cholon Toto, Lahavio, Latoch HaSara. So why can't we say, again, he's using the idea that Reb Yirmiyah had before. Reb Yirmiyah's idea is, if theoretically I could have done something for purpose of Eru Tzuchumin, we say as if I did it. So could I not, why couldn't I say, let's say I would take this closet and slant it over on its side, and then I and my Eruv would be in the same Rishus. I'd be in the same Rishus. In other words, if there's just like an action I need to do, it's sort of a strange idea, but there's an action I need to do. So if I would do that, like just like with the basket, remember with the basket, since I could have flipped over the basket, we view it as if it is flipped over. So here too, why can't I say that if I could have flipped over this closet, and then I and my Eruv would be in the same Rishus, so it's good. So Rabbi Yirmiyah, so Rabbi Yirmiyah answers, Hachav Migdal Masumar Askinan. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says that would be a good idea, but we're talking about where the Migdal, where the closet or whatever, the dovecote, is attached to the wall. And here you see it's got screws and things like that nailed into the wall. So that's why we don't say he could have done it, because it's a physical impossibility to do it. And then we're home free. Rav Amar, Afil Tim Migdal She'enu Masumar. Rav says you could even say we're talking about a closet that's not attached to the wall, b'hachal b'migdal arocha skinan. So here we're talking about a very long migdal. Let me see if he has one here. Yeah, a very long migdal, right? A very high closet. And if I would put it on its side, I'd be more than dalet amot away from my makom shvita. In other words, I want my makom shvita to be here. That's where I want it to be. Now I'm on top of it. If I put it on the side, I'm more than dalet amot away from my makom shvita. The imam tilei purta azil chutzla arba amod. So then I'll be outside the dalet amod. So it means like this. So I want to be kona my makom shvita. Let me see if I have a picture here. Right. So here's the dalet amod. I want to be makom kona my makom shvita in this dalet amod. And then when I flip it over on side, I assume the top is over here. So the so I'll end up more than dalet amod away from it. So now even if I say I'm more than dalet amod away. So I'm just, he says on the side, he quotes, if you have the art scroll, it's in footnote 13 in the art scroll, he quotes from the Maharam, you know, normally we say if I could do something, it's like here, theoretically, I could take the food, go to Amod, and get it to where I want it to be. So what? Why can't I say that? In other words, so here I have access to the food. My makom shvita, I want to be in this dalet amod. So I'll take the food. I'll take it to amod, and get there. Why can't I do that? So he quotes from the Maharam. The Maharam says, in order to validate the Erev, in our case, two different potentialities must be employed. The potential to incline the closet to within 10 tefachim of the ground, and the potential to carry in the Rishus HaRabim less than 4 amot at a time. While each of these potentialities may be used individually, we do not combine them in order to arrive at a lenient ruling. That's his answer, the easiest answer. Like, in other words, I could have done something, but I can't, it's too much, you know, this, that, the other. I can't be mitzari for all these things together. All right, let me just do a few more lines. Then he says, the Gemara says, Heichi Dami. Now, again, going back up with this closet, what's the fact pattern? Iki Dika Kavtu Umitna, Leiti Bekavta Umitna. Now, let's assume, even again, in the case where I couldn't have had the Eruv, where I'm in the Rishus Yachid, I'm on top of the Eruv, and the bread is here in the wall, you know, here he's got it at the 9 Tefachim mark, which is going to be the Rishus HaRabim. So let's say that is the case, but if there's a window and here he's got like a window, let's say I have a window, an opening in the closet, and the bread is attached to a string, so the Gemara says I should still be able to pull it in. Now, normally I can't carry from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, But he proves from the Gemara is that where the thing is attached, like remember we had a scroll, if the scroll fell off, remember you were on the iskufa, and now you're rolling it back in, so that doesn't count as a Torah violation. So the Gemara says, Ida ika kaftu mitna, if there's a window and a string, late to be kaftu mitna. So the Gemara says, late kaftu mitna. We don't have that. So he says, again, this is an art scroll, footnote 16. He says, if it would be that way, hoisting the Erev, even from Rishus Arabim, the place on the wall, to Rishus Yachid, would involve only a rabbinical infraction because it's attached to the string. So that would be allowed. So the Gemara says, we don't have it that way. Okay. Anyway, the. All right, and so I'm sorry. This was a very difficult sugya. But welcome, Fern. Nice to have you. Nice to have you, Aaron Moshe, as well. Yeah, this was a difficult sugya. But any questions on the sugya that I did so far? Anybody? All right.
We learned about a. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Bob. No, go ahead, Fern.
Thank you. We learned a while back. Now I know you can't pile up the leniencies. That's what we learned right now. That the guy took like a pull without a Bates Keeble in it, that was a leniency too. But I haven't seen that brought up in a few days.
We'll say, what was leniency again? That was with the Kohen in the Beit HaKfarot you're talking about, with the Tuma, with the Bates Keeble. Is that what you're referring to, Fern? Remember we said...
You mean to blow away in the Beit HaPras, you mean?
No. You said a Kliates with the Bates Keeble. Is that what you're talking
about? Yeah, that.
Yeah, remember what that... Remember, that was the Kohen could put his Eruvit Chumin in the cemetery. So he said he's in the box and the food is on the cemetery. So the food was not Makabal Tuma. He was immune from Tuma. The Gemara, we said, how is he going to get access to the food? Because once he sticks his arm out, he'll be Tame.
That he was going to use the Kliates.
Yeah, that was a different Ukimta.
But it doesn't. That wouldn't apply to here. If you could.
Well, here we're not talking about a Kohen. We're not talking about Tum. We're not talking about Beit HaKfarot. How did you want to use it here with this thing? In other words,
to sort of shorten the Dalet Amot that he doesn't have. In other words, if he stands at the end of the fourth Amma.
No. Again, if I'm pulling it in, I'm taking the Dalet Amos. Doesn't matter. I'm here and I'm pulling it in with something. It's going from the Dalet Amos. That's an act. I'm making the Akira.
Okay.
All right. Robert, what do you got for me?
Okay. I'm assuming that the people who were doing this, creating these Eruvim so they would not be Mechalel Shabbos, were aware of the limitations of how high or low you could put, you know, whatever Eruv you were going to use. Why would there be any possibility that someone would put it above the limitation if they knew it was like...
Yeah, okay, the Gemara, again, it's similar to your question the other day as well. The Gemara has lots of questions. It's like the questions illustrate the halacha. In other words, it's like on the cutting edge, giving us examples if this would occur, and then we can tease out like the edges of halacha. Obviously,
abstract.
If you know what you want to do, you'll do everything kedat v'kedin. You won't have any of these questions, and you'll be fine. But let's say a person didn't do that. So what is the halacha? And then through those questions, we're able to clarify exactly what the halacha is, what the law is, how far, you know, with everything. That's...
So in other words, if somebody unknowingly, because they were ignorant of the restrictions.
Right. If he did all
then
that.
Then you're into the unwitting versus the deliberate violations.
Well, again, that's if you... You only get into unwitting and deliberate once you do the actions. But in other words, he put the Erev Tchumen was placed in one place, and he wants his Makam Shvi to be in another place. And now the question is it a good Erev Tchumen or not? So that's what the Gemara gets into, whether theoretically, but the idea is he at least theoretically has to have access to the food, Bein HaShmashot, from his Makom Shvita. That's the basic idea. It was the place that he wants to be Kona, the place where he's designating as his residence, he has to have access to the food, Bein HaShmashot, in the twilight period going into Shabbos, at least theoretical access to the food. And then the question is, in these cases, does he have theoretical access to it or not? That's the basic idea.
Got it. Okay,
everybody good? Okay, the rest of the Gemara is Baruch Hashem easier, but let's keep moving with this. Okay, now, Then we said three lines to the bottom. We said in the Mishnah, if a person placed the food in a bor, in a pit, even if the pit is 100 amot in depth, which is very deep, obviously, it would be like 150 feet deep, it's still a good Erev. So hai bor dekai hecha, where is the bor? We don't know the fact pattern. So the Gemara says, ilema dekai b'rishud yachid, if the bor is in rishud yachid, in other words, I went to a private domain, or somebody went on my behalf, placed the food there. So he says, the top line on Lamadalan base, Pshita, Rishud yachid ola ad rakia. Then it's obvious it would be good, because the person who, the Makom Shvita would be presumably on top, you know, on the surface, and that's Rishud yachid. The boar is also Rishud yachid, as he proves now, because he says, Rishud yachid ola ad rakia, that a Rishud yachid goes up to the heavens, b'chi hechi desalka la'el, and just like it goes up, he says, hakanami denach delataka, so too it goes down. So it can go up infinitely, it can go down infinitely. So the base of the pit is Rishud yachid, I'm in the Rishud yachid, so I have no problems. So it doesn't make sense that the Tana would be teaching me that halacha, because that's too simple, it's too obvious. So the Gemara says, Ve'ela dekai b'rishud harabim. So the Gemara says, so the bor must be in the rishud harabim, the public domain. So the Gemara says, in a kamin l'shbot hecha, where does he, so the bor is rishud yachid, and then this rishud yachid is in the middle of rishud harabim. In other words, I have rishud harabim, and there's a bor there, but the bor, by definition, is rishud yachid. So then a kamin l'shbot hecha, where does he intend to acquire his Sabbath residence? He says, Ilamala, if he intends that it should be at the surface of the bor, so then hu makom echad v'rivov makom acherhu. That's not going to work, because he's going to be the Rishus Arabim, and the bottom of the pit is Rishud Yachid. So then he has no theoretical access to that, Bein Hashmashot, because that would be Hotzan Shabbos. Ilamata, if he intends to acquire residence at the base of the pit, so then that's Pshita. That's too obvious. Huve Ruvo Makom Echad. So the Gemara says, Lo, it's Sricha the Kai Bekarmelit. So the Gemara says, no, that the boar is in a Carmelit. And a Carmelit could be, let's say, an open field. Let's say there's an open field, and then there's a pit in the open field. So the surface of the open field is a Carmelit, a rabbinic Rishus. And then the base of the boar is Rishud Yachid. The Nikam and the Shbo Lamala, and he intends to have his residence on the surface. He says, V'rebihi, and our Mishnah follows Rebbe, the Amar, Kul Devar Shu, Mishum Shvut, Lo Gazru La Ben Hashmashot. Rebbe says anything that they were gozer, Mishum Shvut, because rabbinic prohibition doesn't apply Ben Hashmashot, and we've learned already several times, when it comes to the Erev, the key is Ben Hashmashot, that's what's Koveya, the status. And so Mamela, since Bein HaShmashot, he would only have to violate a rabbinic prohibition. And Rebbe holds there are no rabbinic prohibitions, Bein HaShmashot. And we say Rebbe holds there are no rabbinic prohibitions. So there's, it doesn't mean, and I spoke to Rabbi Ezra Schwartz about this. He said it doesn't mean there's zero rabbinic prohibitions, but they had a blurb here in the art school about it. But the point is, though, he would have theoretical access to his Erev, so therefore the Erev is good. So that's what the Mishnah is teaching me. If he's in the Carmelite, and the Erev's in Rishud HaYachid, so to get the Erev would only violate a Dindra Rabbanan, and Rebbe holds Bein HaShmashot in the twilight period, the Dindra Rabbanan doesn't apply, and it could be that Rebbe holds that only like it's B'mako Mitzvah, and you know, let's say he's leaving the Erev Tchumen because he wants to do a Mitzvah, so Mela, that's why it's good. Okay, whose quest comes to listening we did so far? Okay, I'm moving on then. All right. So we're at the next Mishnah on Lamadalan Beis. Okay, so Manitin, Netano Barosh Hakana, he put the food on the top of a reed, Obarosh Hakunda, so on top of a pole. Now, when you say reed, I think like the reed, not like the reeds that I'm familiar with. I'm thinking like a bamboo shoot, that type of reed. You know what I mean? It's like tall, strong. So he puts the food on top of this reed or on top of a pole. So if the reed had already been detached from the ground and then placed back in the ground, so then it's a good Erev, because it means the reed is not Dalet Amot by Dalet Amot, so it's less than Dalet Amot by Dalet Amot. So the top of it is a surface like Dalet Tfachim by Dalet Tfachim, so, but it still comes out that that's a Carmelite. So he's in, and we're going to clarify where he is, but One second. Right. So even if he's in a Rishus HaRabim, and this thing is standing up in the Rishus HaRabim, so he has access to the Carmelite, you know, from the Rishus HaRabim. That's the same concept that we had before, just, you know, putting it back in, all right? Okay, so I'm going to move on. You have a question? What's up?
Yeah, I still get foggy, and I had it better before. Can you go over again briefly what's a Rishut HaYachid, Rishut HaRabim, and what's a Carmelite?
Okay. So Rishut HaYachid, remember I need Makom Arbal Arba, fourth Tfachim, right. By fourth Tfachim, surrounded by a partition, 10 Tfachim high. All right? Okay. And we had all different variations of the partition with the ground.
The water, right.
It could be a pit, it could be a hill, and things like that, but that's it. Then Rishut HaRabim is a public thoroughfare that's 16 amot wide, and then some of Farshim want to say that you have 600,000 people going down there. Right. Then the Carmelite on a Torah level would have been a Rishut HaYachid, but the Chachamim say that we don't want you to carry there because it looks too much like the Rishut HaRabim. So a Carmelite is really mostly all the rest residue and remainder, but it means, let's say, I have an open field that would be a Carmelite. You know, in other words, like open areas like a Carmelite. I think
where people don't travel, or it doesn't have the dimensions for Rishut HaRabim.
In other words, there's no public wayfare there. People, you know, it's not the Rabim, don't go there. That's the Carmelite. Like the front lawn of your house is a Carmelite. All right, and most of the streets here in Great Neck, if the streets are not 16 amot wide, so that's a Carmelite. All right.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Now, we're around 8 lines from the top in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Rami le Rava Adabar Matna le Rava. So Rava Adabar Matna posed the following question to Rava. Talosh notes in, the implication of the Mishnah is that if the reed had been detached and then stuck back in the ground, then that's good. Lo talosh notes low. Otherwise not. So the Gemara says, Mani, so Rabbanan he, the Amri, called of Arshim Shvut Gazru Labena Shmashot. So if it had not been detached, so the reed would be like a tree. So a tree, I'm not allowed to make use of a tree. You know, I can't sit on the tree, can't lean on the tree, can't climb the tree. So if the reed had never been detached and it's still in the ground, so then I'm out of gas with the Zeruv, because I'd have to violate a Dindra Banan to get access to my Eruv Tchumen Ben HaShvashot. So the Gemara says, apparently then, if that's the correct shot in the Mishnah, so our Mishnah disagrees with Rebbe. Rebbe says, that anything that's Mishum Shvut, rabbinic prohibition, doesn't apply Ben HaShmashot. And here we're saying, I'm out of gas because it does apply Ben HaShmashot. So that sounds like the Chachamim who disagree with Rebbe. That's the only way this Mishnah makes sense. So it's Va'amrit Reisha Rebbe. So you said that the Reisha, the earlier part of the Mishnah, was like Rebbe, that the Shvus is relaxed. And here we're saying that. Reisha Rebbe V'Sefer Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, you mean that the ratio is like Rebbe and the same as the Rabbanan. So Amarle, Kvar Rami Le, Rami Bar Chama, Rav Chista, you're right. Rami Bar Chama also asked Rav Chista this question, Vishani Le, Reisha Rebbe, Besefer Rabbanan. In Achinami, that's why we're forced to say that the earlier Mishnah is following the Shita Rebbe, this Mishnah is following the Shita the Chachamim, and according to Rebbe, it wouldn't make a difference if it was detached, even if it was attached, since the only thing you'd be violating would be a rabbinic prohibition, it would still be good Eruv Tchumen. Ravina Amar Kula Rebbe he. Ravina says no. There's a way to us to say that both Mishnayot follow the Shita Rebbe. They both hold that the rabbinic prohibitions are relaxed. With Seifa Gzeres Shema Yiktom. In the Seifa with the reed, in other words, when I have the reed and it's still attached to the ground, it's not a problem. It's not a problem of violating a rabbinic prohibition of, you know, climbing a tree or making use of a tree on Shabbos. The problem is Shema Yiktom, that if I come to take my Eruv Tchumen, I might break off a piece of the reed. Now, if the reed has never been detached from the ground, breaking off a piece of the reed would be kotzer, would be melech kotzer on Shabbos. So it's not violating a din d'rabbanan. I'm concerned that I'm going to violate a din d'oraisa. That's why the Mishnah says that I can't do those things. All right, who's your questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
So if we didn't have an Eruv in Great Neck, I would not be able to carry on my front lawn?
That is 100% certain. That's 100% correct. Yeah, that's definitely true.
Definitely. So it's the Eruv that permits me to carry on my property.
Absolutely.
I had mentioned to you that for 30, 35 years, I had a neighbor of camp came, Krasner camp,
Moshe
Karl came and put a neighbor on my front lawn so the kids could, all the madrichim can come on Shabbos.
Come to your property and eat.
And we give them food and we give them we give them, you know, we make a spread, and then land abyss was up there, I'll tell them. They sank a little bit. That was only because I had an Arab there on my front lawn.
All right, I'm going to move on. Okay, we're at the two dots. Okay, now, this is a marauding army that came to Nerda. Nerda is a town in Babel. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, "Tzalmidim puku avinu kavushe kavshe ba'agma, l'mar karnezu b'nei tibi labay." I want you to like pat down the reeds that are in the marshes. I don't know. They don't want to hang out where this marauding army is. It's not a good place to be. So I want you to pat down this on Erev Shabbos. Pat down the reeds that are in the marshes. So tomorrow we'll have a place to sit down and learn and do whatever we need to do. So it seems like the issue with the reeds, why he wanted to do it on Erev Shabbos, is either he was concerned with muksa, but like on Shabbos, like the reed is muksa. So this way you'll pat it down now that it's done. Or else he's got another shot here. One second. Let me get it. Yeah. Or this is in footnote 13, the Orat scroll. The first one was from the Ritva. He says, knowing that some of the reeds would inevitably break when bent, he wished to prevent them performing the malach of kotzer on Shabbos. Okay. So either way, I have a problem with the reeds. So I want you to pat down the reeds before Shabbos. So let's see back on the Gemara. So Efe Rami Bar Chama Rav Nachman. So Rav Chama posed the following questions to Rav Nachman. Va'amri lo Rav Uchva Bar Abel Rav Nachman. Talush v'na'ot zin, lo talush v'na'ot slow. He says that in the Mishnah we learned that only if it was detached, if it was still attached, I have a problem with making use of the reeds on Shabbos if it's still attached. So here, these reeds are still attached to the ground. So how are you, like, you know, sitting on the reeds, whatever? Like in other words, I can't sit on a tree on Shabbos. So we think the reed, we think, is the same as the tree. So if that's the case, so how are you letting Talmidim sit on the reeds on Shabbos? So Amar Le, Hatam Huzradin. He says, there in the Mishnah, you're talking about very hard reeds. In other words, those reeds have the consistency of like a bamboo pole. Those have a din of a tree. He says, these reeds are like soft reeds, and they don't have the din of a tree. In other words, it's a gzera against, using a tree on Shabbos. We're afraid that you come to break off a branch. I don't know, maybe to hit an animal with, whatever. So, but that's only for a hard tree. Now, what we call a tree, the definition in halacha is different than English, but it means like any, it sounds like hard wood, hard growing substance is a tree. So the Gemara says, where do we know that in halacha, there's a difference between whether the reed is a hard reed or a soft reed? It's nice that you're saying it, but where do you see proof of that? So the Tani, we learn in the Braisa, now the key in these Braises is to focus on the Kanim. The Kanim are the reeds. That's the one we want to focus on. Hakanim va tadim va higin. Those are like types of thorn bushes. Min ilan hain. Those are types of trees. The inan kilayim bekerim. So kilayim bekerim, not allowed to mix different plants in the vineyard, but only yerek, only vegetation. Trees I can plant in the vineyard. So it's saying, just focusing on the kanim, the reed is a tree, and there's no problem if I put a reed in the vineyard. He says, vitani idach, I learned a different braisa. Hakanim va kidin va urbanim. Again, the reeds and these other different types of plants, minyarakane, they're types of like vegetables, vehinculine bakarum. So one brisa says there's no problem with planting kanim in the vineyard. One says there is a problem with planting the reed in the vineyard. So the Gemara says, kasha ahadade. So the two, there's a stira between the two brises. Ella shmamina kan vuzradin kan b'shein vuzradin. One is talking about this very hard reed, which is hard like wood, that I have no problem planting in the vineyard because that counts as a tree al pialacha. And the other is like a very soft reed that I do have a problem planting in the vineyard. Shmamina. So we see that is a proper deduction. And the same thing would apply again with Rav Nachman. So he said, plat down the reeds and going to sit it on tomorrow. Aren't you making use of a tree? So the Gemara says, no, if it's a soft reed, it doesn't count as a tree. Whereas in our Mishnah, we're talking about a very hard reed. Let me do four more lines. Is it? So the Gemara, Agav Orecha says, V'kida min yereku, kida is that type of vegetation. The Braisa, now kida, he says cassia is the way they translate it. I don't know what cassia is. But he says, is that a type of vegetable? V'hatanam, we learn in the Mishnah, Masech Kilayim, Emar kibin pegam al gabe kida, al gabe kida levana. I can't graft a pegam, which is a vegetable, on top of the white kida, neshu yerek bi'ilan, because the kida counts as a tree, and I'm grafting a vegetation on a tree. So he says, Amra papa kida lechud, but kida levana lechud. So you're right, kida by itself is a vegetable, but kida levana, white kida, that counts as a tree. And that's the way he's able to be miyashe of those two. Okay, who's had questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
Okay, take something like, I'm going to take something you're familiar with, Camp Morasha, okay? Take the fact that that road is a public road out of the equation. Make believe that that road that goes through from the office to the end of boys' campus is not a public road.
Right.
What?
You're talking about the asphalt road, like the asphalt road.
Yeah, right? Yeah, right. Where people drove.
Right, and then anybody from the public could drive down there, right? Right. Go ahead.
But let's say that that was not public. And then right. That, yeah, near, between the lake and the bunks.
Right.
If that were a private road just belonging to Morasha, what would the status of the camp be?
Well, the thing is, like, the fact that, like, people from outside the camp can't use it, it's still, like, the people in the camp are using it as a roadway. But, so the issue, the analysis would be, first, is it 16 amot wide? So 16 amot, I don't know if it's even 16 amot wide. But if it's
the road or the camp?
No, the road. So if the road is not 16 amot wide, then that's the end of the analysis. Then
without it's a Rishud HaYachid?
No. In other words, let's go back. In other words, with Camp Morasha, the whole camp is surrounded by an Eruv. So everything is converted to Rishus Yachid. But I assume you mean if there is no Eruv around the camp.
Yes, I do.
Right. So let's say there would not be an Eruv around the camp. So the first thing to ask myself is it 16 Amot across? So in other words, in order to be a Rishus, you're asking, is it a Rishus HaRabim? So in order to be a Rishus HaRabim, it has to be 16 Amot across. So if it's not 16 Amot across, you're dead in the water. It's not a Rishus HaRabim. If it is 16 amot across, and 16 amot could be, let's say, like 24 feet. So if it's 16 amot across, so then it might be that it's a Rishus HaRabim. If you say, I don't need 600,000 people, but people use that road, and that's the way they go back and forth, so then maybe it could be a Rishus HaRabim. I don't know.
Now let's say that road would be grass.
Yes, that's not a designated, like, you know, the key is, do the masses use that area? In other words, like, is there a pathway there? Do people use it as like as a place to, you know, go from one A to B? You know what I mean? That's the key. How do people use it?
But otherwise, it would be a Carmelite.
Otherwise, a Carmelite. And even the other way is only assuming that I don't need 600,000 people for Rishus HaRabim. Anyway, but these questions really relate to the first parak, where in Shabbos, this is like, you know.
But I think my haze is becoming apparent when we're going over this.
Oh, thing. All right. So you need
Would you like to know what a cassia is?
All right, in 1 second. So, but I think you need to chazer Shabbos. Stop up. Go back to Shabbos 6A and review over that daf, and then give us back a report later on. Okay, what do you got? Okay. So what do you got for me, Robert? What do you got?
Acacia is an evergreen tree that originated in southern China, and it's known for its aromatic bark, which smells like cinnamon.
All right.
How it ended up in Israel is another issue.
Anyway, all right, let's see further. I'm going on to the next Mishnah. Everybody with me? Okay, Manitin. Okay, Nitanoba Migdal. Now, let's say I put the Eruv Tchumin in a Migdal. It's like a tower, a closet. He says, V'avara Mavteach, and then the key to the closet got lost. So I have this, the food's in the Migdal, and the door is locked, but I lost the key. He says, Hareza Eruv. So according to the Tanakhama, I'm still not, all is not lost. I still have an Eruv Tchumin, and the Gemara will explain why. So the Gemara is going to explain that I don't know this yet, that we're talking about like a brick container, but without cement or mortar. And he's going to learn that I'm allowed to break it apart to get access to the food. That's the way the Gemara is going to learn. He says, Reb Lezer Omer, im eino yodea shemavtech b'mekomo eino Eruv. If the key is lost and he has no idea where it is, so it's not an Eruv. So it's machloket in the Mishnah. So Tanakhama says, I have a good Eruv. Reb Lezer says, I don't have a good Eruv. So the Gemara says, B'amai, how could it possibly be a good Eruv? In other words, he's in one place. In other words, he doesn't have access to the food. How could that be a good Eruv? So Rabbi Shmuel Damri Tarbayu, Hachab Migdal Shalabanim, Shalabanim Askinam. We're dealing with a Migdal, a tower, a closet, whatever it is, made out of bricks. He says, Remeir he, and the Tan of our Mishnah is following the Shita Remeir, the Amar Pochet Lachachilav and Omotel, that a person can make a hole in it and get access to the food. Didnan, somebody's not muted. Our Moshe and Robert, I think you need to mute yourselves. Okay, so he says, did not, because we learn in the Mishnah, in Masech Beya, by Shemalo Pei wrote, if, let's say, now this is talking about, now Beya is talking about on Yantiv, and it's talking really a din in Muksa, right? So if I, one second, yeah, right, so he says, by Shemalo Peirot, I filled this house, whatever, with produce and satum, and it's sealed before Yantiv, the Nifchat. And then during Yantiv, the walls break down on this house or this chamber, whatever. No tel makoma pachat. So I could take it from the place of the breach. The produce is not muksa, meaning it's reasonable for me to assume that the wall would break. In these circumstances, like I saw the wall was ready to break down. And he's learning, one second, he's going like Reb Shimon here. One second. So he says in footnote 27, it reflects the opinion of Reb Shimon, who's leaning Muksa Machman Isur, when the prohibition causing the status of Muksa is expected to obey sometimes during Shabbos. So in other words, so I don't have access going into Shabbos, but I do foresee that the wall is gonna break down, okay? Or Yantiv. Rabbi Meir Omer, Pokev and Otelech. Rabbi Meir says, I don't have to wait for the wall to break down. I can break down the wall myself, get access to the food. So the Gemara is saying, just like Rabbi Meir holds, I can break down the wall. Here I can break down the wall and get access to the food. So Mela, I do have access, halakhic access to my Erev. So the Gemara says, how could I do that? Va'amar Rav Nachman bar Adam or Shmuel. So Amar Rav Nachman bar Adam or Shmuel ba Avira Delivne. So the Gemara says, but Rav Acha bar Livne said that Mishnah over there in Beya is talking about where the bricks were not attached with cement or mortar. It's just like loose bricks, and so I just like give a knock and the whole thing comes down. So the Gemara says, no problem. Hakanami ba Avira Delivne. In our Mishnah also, we're talking about like where the bricks were not attached with mortar or cement or anything like that. And that's what it means. So according to the opinion that it's a good Eruv, which is a Tana Kama in our Mishnah, so I do have access to it because I just knock over the bricks. So the Gemara says, and any questions on what we did so far? Everybody good? Okay. So the Gemara says, Va'amar Rebbe Zeira B'yom Tov Amru Avalo B'Shabbat. So, but Rebbe Zeira says, that Kula only applies on Yantiv, it doesn't apply on Shabbos. All right, 1 minute, let me check. So he says, one minute. Right. So on Yantiv, I'm allowed to cook, to bake, and things like that. So certain things are relaxed. It says moving the bricks to obtain the food is likewise permitted on Yantiv. That's what the article says in footnote 29. In other words, on Yantiv, I'm allowed to do things with Tzorach Ochal Nefesh. So the Gemara thinks, like for this, in other words, the question is, aren't the bricks muksa? So how do I have access to it? So the Gemara in some way is thinking that the din of Yantiv, in order to get access to food, are more lenient than Shabbos, and it would include the muksa status of these bricks. When Rezer B'yomtav Amru Lo B'Shabbat, so Rezer says, this kula about breaking down the bricks only applies on Yantiv, wouldn't apply on Shabbos because the bricks would be muksa. So Hakanami B'yomtav. So the Gemara says, here too, I'll say we're talking about Yantiv. In Hakanami and Shabbos, you would not be allowed to break it down, but we're talking about Yantiv. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi haidu tiktani lo." So if I'm saying that our Mishnah is talking about Yantiv and the whole sugya is talking about Yantiv and not Shabbos, I'm going to have problems with the following brisa, which relates to our Mishnah. So in the brisa, we learn other opinions. Reb Lezer Omer in Beir Avad Eruvo Eruv. The Tana Reb Lezer. Now this Reb Lezer seems to be a different version than the Reb Lezer we had in our Mishnah. He says Reb Lezer says if the key was lost in the city. Meaning, he says, Eruvo Eruv. In other words, it's still a valid Eruv because the key could be transported, he says, to the closet via, you know, Gagot, Karpifot, and Chatzerot. In other words, the Tana Reb Lezer, remember we had this earlier, or Reb Shimon holds that you're allowed to carry on Shabbos from a Gog to a Karpif. So these are, and to a Chatzer. So it means the Chatzerot are, they're surrounded by partitions. Normally I say I can't carry from one Rishus Yachid to another Rishus Yachid, but here I could because he considers them all to be one Rishus. So if I lost the key in the city, so all is not lost because I still have like theoretical access. I could find the key and then eventually get it to where this closet is. Vim Biyom Tov. But if you say this whole issue, this whole Shachla Vitaria, is only about Yantiv, Mali Yir, Mali Sada. Who cares about the Yir? Who cares about Sada? Because in Yantiv, I'm allowed to carry for Tzarcha Yantiv. That's where we're going with this. Now, he says, and Rashi brings down, it comes up, we have like three different opinions concerning the validity of the Erev with the food is locked in the closet. So the Tanakhama held, he says in footnote 33, regardless of whether the key was lost in the city of the field, the Erev is valid because if you demolish the closet, retrieve the key, as per Rebbe Akiva Meir. So the first opinion, I don't care. It's lost, I don't care. I could break it down on Yantiv and I have access to it. The second opinion, Reb Lezer, as stated in the Mishnah, holds that he doesn't accept Reb Shimon, who prevents carrying the in the city by the Chatzero, the Gago, the Chatzero, and the Karpifod. So the air was invalid even if the key was found in the city, because it's like dead in the water. Even if I find the key, I can't, you know, access the key with the closet. And then Reb Lezer and the Brice of Al Reb Shimon says in the city it's good Erev. Now, so the Gemara says, if you're going to say this whole discussion is about Yantiv, not Shabbos, so what are we talking about Hotzah with? So the top line on Lamed Hayam Aleph 35a, the Gemara says, Chisurim Echzer of Ahaki Katani, is if we're going to reconcile the Mishnah and the Brice, as if there are words missing in the Brice, and this is the way we should understand the Brice. Nitano b'migdal v'na'al b'fana v'avadam avteach. If he put the food in a migdal in the closet, he locked it, and he lost the key, hareza eruv. That is a good eruv. B'mem murim b'yom tov. That's only on Yantiv. Aval b'shabbat einin ro eruv. But on Shabbos, it would not be a good eruv, because on Shabbos, you're not allowed to break down the bricks. He says, nimsa amavteach bein b'ir bein b'sadeh. If I find the key, whether in the city or in the field, it's not a good Erev, because I can't carry the key. So when we are talking about Shabbos, he says, right. So he says, Reb Lezer Omer, Be'ir Erevo Erev, Besadein Erevo Erev. So we switched over from Yantiv to Shabbos. Reb Lezer says, in the city would be good Erev, because it's a way for me to get the key to the closet. And if I find the key in the field, it's not a good Erev. The ir erev erev kireb shimon the amar achad gagod bechad chaterev bechad karpifo rishul chadhein lekelim shabtu b'tochan. He says, so Reb Shimon says I have a green light to carry the key from the chater to the karpif to the gag. He says, and there's a way for me to get the key to the closet. Besada in erev erev kirabanan, and but in the field it's not a good erev like the chachamim. Now when he says it's not a good field like the chachamim, he's talking about a different machloket. So he cites it here in the footnote in footnote 7 in the art scroll. So there's a machloket later on daf tzadi hay about carrying the rishud rabim. If I find tefillin the rishud rabim and I can't take it to a safe place by wearing them, Shimon allows the tefillin to be taken less than Dalet Amo and hand it to another person until it gets there. The Chachamim don't permit that, even for mitzvah. In other words, I'm violating a din de rabbanan by doing that. So in our case, Reb Shimon allowed transporting the key to the closet in this fashion from the mitzvah of Erev, so we would allow, we rule the Erev valid even when the key is found in an open field. In other words, I could take it less than Dalet Amo. Reb Shimon would say that I could keep taking it less than Dalet Amo. Although Reb Lezer accepts Reb Shimon's ruling on roofs, he rejects Reb Shimon's other leniency. That's one way to learn it. So again, let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara said, so Reb Lezer says, Be'ir Erev Erev. In the city, it's a good Erev. This is five lines from the top, because I can get it there by going from the Gog to the Chatzir to the Karpif. Besada in Erev Erev. Be'ir Erev Erev Reb Shimon. There he's following Reb Shimon, who says, he says, it's all one Rishut, so I can get it over there. Besada in Erev Erev. In the field, it's not an Erev, because he wants to say, even though I could take it to Amot, stop, take it to Amot, stop, take it to Amot, stop, which is what Reb Shimon also holds in an analogous case later on, he says, but they hold like the Chachamim that I shouldn't violate a Din Rabbanan for that halacha. All right, I'm sorry, that's the best I have with this. Any questions, comments, thoughts?
Yeah, I have a question on the brick thing.
Okay, let me hear.
Is the official ruling that on Shabbos you cannot take the bricks down to get to the Eruv?
Well, the Gemara said that I have to look up the halakha.
Because Rabbi Meir says that that's permissible, and then Father Danit said it's not.
Yeah, no. We said that the lenient opinion of Rabbi Meir is only on Yontif, not on Shabbos. That's what we ended up saying. The Rameyer holds you could break it down, but only on Yontif, because otherwise I run into a muksa problem. Rameyer's kula is that on Yontif, I'm allowed to do things for Tzorach Ochel Nefesh. In some way, the dinim of muksa, the key is that the bricks would be muksa. So in some way, that the leniency of muksa, there would be a leniency in muksa to get access to the food. That's what the Gemara is saying, according to Rameyer. But on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to do Tzorach Ochel Nefesh. I can't cook food, prepare food on Shabbos. So that kula in Dina Muksa does not exist on Shabbos. So that's the way the Gemara said it. I don't know the Halakha L'maisa, but that's what the Gemara said within the opinion of Rabbi Meir.
Because the way I'm reading it is he said it was okay on Shabbos.
No, where did you see that? Let me hear the line.
It's on the top. It says...
That's the beginning of the discussion. You got to go...
Yeah, right. But then there was a clarification.
Yeah, then the Gemara said, no, that's only on Yontif. That's what we said at the end. It was only on Yontif. So we said our mission is also talking about Yontif, remember?
Because it says here, in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who said, one may create a breach in a brick wall on Shabbos ab initio and take the produce from the other side.
Yeah, but then read a few lines later in the Gemara. Didn't the Gemara say that it was only on Yontif, not on Shabbos?
That was Rabbi Eliezer who gave that opinion.
One minute. Let me check. No.
Says... Didn't Rabbi Zera say the sages in the aforementioned Mishnah discussed the breaching the wall only with regard to a festival and not with regard to Shabbos?
Okay, right. Yontif, not Shabbos. That's exactly right.
So he was overruled. He didn't change his opinion.
No. He wasn't overruled. Let's go back. The Gemara says the quote of Rameyer. He says, so Rameir Omer Poche, six lines from the bottom, Rameir Omer Poche ben Otelech Achila, I can break down the wall and then I'm good. So the Gemara says, Va'amar Rav Nachman Bar Adam or Shmuel Ba'avira Delivni. So what Rav Nachman Bar Adam says in Shmuel, Rameir was talking about Ba'avira Delivni. We said again, it was no mortar, no cement. Then the Gemara says, Va'amar Rebbe Zeira, but Rebbe Zeira said, B'yom Tov Amru. That halacha only applies by Yantiv.
Yeah, so Rabbi Zeira is disagreeing with Rabbi Meir.
No, Rabbi Meir is a Tana. Rabbi Zeira is an Amora. An Amora doesn't disagree with the Tana. But Rabbi Zeira is explaining the opinion. Okay. Any other questions?
Okay. On Yontif, you can carry, but you still have to observe the Tchum Shabbos, right?
Right, and Tchum Yontif. This is Tchum Yontif. So it's not Tchum Shabbos, it's Tchum Yontif.
In other words, it's the same Tchum, though, right?
Right, same Tchum, right, correct.
Okay. Thanks.
All right, everybody good? Okay, let me end the recording. 1 second.